Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Hey, good morning. We're Kenkel Fritz and Friends. You know, sometimes you accidentally call somebody the wrong name. Misty, you found something kind of similar, right?
Oh, yes. This lady tweeted, "I accidentally called God babe while I was praying today, and it was more awkward than you'd think." Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it's interesting. I saw a study on, have you ever done this before? You call somebody the wrong name, but it's typically somebody close to your family or in the same family. Mm-hmm. Like, I have called my 14-year-old son babe, because that's what I call my wife. And he'll be like, "Dad, you just called me babe." His voice is almost as deep as mine right now. "Dad, did you just call me babe?" And I'm like,
Oops. I've called my mom baby right after I got off the phone with my husband. And I have a few times, like, just in prayer. And I don't mean it disrespectfully. Like, I'm just talking, and I've referenced God as dude. Like, I'd be like, "Dude, seriously." Like, and then I realize what I'm like, I'm praying. What am I doing? Sorry.
Well, not dude. Have you ever? You know, it's a term of endearment. Like, if you did call God babe, it's probably because you have a babe in your life. And I kind of get that. It's a misplacement of, you know.
Yeah, but you worry, have I been blasphemous? Is this a sin I must confess?
Yeah, true.
Oh, goodness.
Or how about the times I've hung up from even you guys and said, "Hey, love you."
Kenkel Fritz and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. And we're talking about, actually, let's just answer the phone. Let's see what we've got going on. Hey, Patty is with us from Tennessee.
Okay, you were talking about calling people the wrong name and saying, "I love you."
Yes, we saw a funny tweet where somebody said that they accidentally, during prayer, called God babe. That it was more embarrassing than you would think.
A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my husband, and you know, we got off the phone. I was, "I love you. I'll see you soon." Well, the dentist office called to make our cleaning appointments for my kids, so we were making all the appointments and stuff. And she was like, "Okay, I'll see you." I said, "Okay, great. I love you." So it was the awkwardest thing. I was like, "Oh," and I just hung up. I was like, "I do love you."
Oh, my word. They probably need to hear that.
Yeah.
I feel like the dentist is not the most popular.
Exactly. But I was like, "Oh, I love you." And she's like, "I'll see you soon."
You've probably heard it said that "do not be afraid" is in the Bible 365 times. Once for every day of the year. I've heard it how many times, guys?
Mm-hmm. Right. I just assumed that's the way it is.
Yeah. Family Life Radio, we are Kenkel Fritz and Friends. So here's the truth. "Do not be afraid" appears 70 times.
Oh.
The word "afraid" itself, 205 times. The word "fear" itself, 336 times. Obviously not always in the context of "do not be afraid" or "do not fear." However, you know, if the words "do not be afraid" appeared only once in the Bible, you could still wake up every day, you know, read it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
I've never actually realized this particular verse, because I think I've looked at other versions.
Mm-hmm.
That fear had to do with a fear has to do with punishment.
Yeah.
But we looked it up in another version, and it said divine punishment, meaning you think God's going to get you.
Wow.
But if you realize his perfect love, you know that's not who God is, because who did he put all of his punishment on?
Yeah.
Jesus.
His son.
Yes. He took our place.
That's amazing. I never would have ever thought of it that way. And yet, so eye-opening.
I know. And if you're afraid of punishment, deep down inside.
Wow. Wow.
If you're afraid of the enemy or if you're afraid of something else, well, God's perfect love takes care of that. You're protected by Him. So there's so many things that have to do with trusting in God and His love that casts out all fear. I love that.
I do too. All these layers.
I know there's a, it really could go deep when you really think about it. Mm-hmm. All the ways He loves you, and it's perfect love. So
I think
trust.
About all the ways we think that we're kind of correct in fearing, you know, paying the bills. I've lost my job. Diagnosis of cancer. All these things that, you know, you think, well, okay, that could be a reason to fear. And yet, this is telling us.
All of those turn to His love. Yeah.
Yes.
Focus on His love for you and how He cares for you. Yeah, you're right. For the bills, He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He'll always provide for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's your father. Listener-supported Family Life Radio. We are Kenkel, Fritz, and Friends. Sally's here.
Good morning.
Misty's here.
Hello.
And you know, you probably heard by now about this Alaska Airlines flight where the there was a panel, or they call it a door plug, was sucked right out of the plane, like shot out of the. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
There was a passenger in the middle seat in the same row. His shirt was sucked off as his body. He had some bruises on his legs, probably because it was like his legs were yanked that direction.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The tops of some of the headrests in that row were sucked out, and the row in front of it. And just think, nobody was sitting in that seat next to that door.
Yeah. That's kind of insane.
I know.
I know there's conflicting reports. Some people say that the people that were supposed to sit there missed the flight, which would have been a miracle. Like, probably, if that's the case,
yeah,
they're the happiest they've ever been to have missed a flight. Alaskan says nobody was ever scheduled to sit there. But still, that exact place where nobody was.
Well, yeah, and if you got a whole row to yourself like this kid did.
Yeah.
I would be sitting next to the window looking out the window.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be stretched out napping.
Exactly. You can lay down.
Right.
But I think it's another reminder. Hey, if you're on a flight and you're sitting, why not have the seatbelt on?
Right.
I've seen too many videos of turbulence where people hit the ceiling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But man, it's crazy. So are you going on a flight soon? So we have with us the number one thing that people want to try. Is this a new year or just?
It's in 2024.
Okay.
I found it odd.
All right. What is it?
Bowling.
Bowling.
What? Like try bowling. It for the first time? Try it more regularly? I'm very confused by the whole statement. And I really, like, I've never met anybody who's never tried it.
I thought everybody has bowled at least once.
Should anyway.
Yeah.
I did my fair share of bowling in college. Was supposed to, I should say. I had needed a kinesiology credit, and I signed up for a bowling class. The only one they had open was 8 o'clock in the morning, which in college, not fun.
No.
And I showed
early
up.
Early bowling.
Yep. I showed up and I was like, this guy's not even paying attention. He's not taking attendance. I don't have to be here.
Oh, no.
And at the end of the semester, it turned out he was. And I failed.
You failed bowling because you didn't show up.
And then I took it a second time. And again, the only class that was open was 8 o'clock. I'm like, what is with this 8 o'clock bowling? And I showed up and I was like, okay. This guy's really not paying any attention. He's not taking attendance. And he was, and I failed it twice.
Wow. Didn't learn your lesson the first time.
I really did not.
What,
Misty.
What is it that you would like to try? What is it?
Zip lining.
Oh, Sal, you want to try zip lining?
Yes, I'm a little terrified. Haven't ever done it.
Okay.
But I have this vision of flying through the air.
All right.
I have a vision of falling off.
Falling off the zip line.
The zip line.
Well, maybe that's why I have never zip line.
Somebody's calling already. All right, what's something you would like to try? 888-888-9976. You can text us at 58326. Jessica is with us. What do you got?
I actually would love to work on a farm and learn how to ballroom dance.
Oh.
Climb a mountain, go in a balloon, a hot air balloon. There's all sorts of things on there.
Lots of adventure.
It. Yeah.
And diversity.
Exactly. Ballroom dancing.
And work on a farm.
Well, when you went straight from farm to ballroom dancing, I thought maybe that was going to happen at the farm. Or,
you know. Oh, no.
Ballroom. I had the same romantic idea about working on a farm. And so my dad, Iowa born and bred, drove me up to a pig farm and said, go experience it.
The aroma of a pig farm.
Oh, that was the death of a dream right there. thanks, Dad.
It's like when I used to live in Arkansas and you drive past these massive corporate chicken coops.
Oh, boy.
And the worst thing is, even though you know what it is, you automatically turn to the person in the car with you and go, is that you?
Exactly. Maybe you were thinking about taking that 30-day challenge where you listen to nothing but Family Life Radio for 30 days straight. See if it doesn't make a difference in your life. And we're giving you away some free music just for taking that challenge. Family Life Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Well, good morning. Who's this?
This is Christine.
Hey, Christine, where are you calling from?
Michigan.
Christine, are you taking the 30-day challenge or have you in the past?
I am.
Oh.
And I've done it before, too.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
I listen every morning driving to work and at work and at home, and it just reminds me what's important. It keeps me calm and just keeps me just, I feel happier all the time listening to it.
Wow. Well, what is that worth alone?
Exactly.
Man,
testify. I love
happier
it.
Happier all the time. I love that.
Yeah, I love it. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take you guys are awesome anytime.
I know.
That makes us feel happy.
That's right. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing and for just calling in. We got some free music for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we're glad you're happier.
Yes.
Me too.
It's time for that good news of the day. Hey, we'd love to hear your story. How has God changed your life? Our number is 888-888-9976. Brandon is with us from Georgia. Tell us what happened.
Well, about 3 years ago, I was struggling with really bad addiction issues, and God used me as a vessel.
So how did God help you get off your addiction?
I was laying on the couch in my mother's house one day, and I really didn't know too much about the Holy Spirit. And I asked God to just deliver me, and it was just gone in an instant. I haven't had a craving. I haven't had any type of issue, but I'm able to live life on life's terms today. If he was able to deliver me, that I would be used as a vessel for the rest of my life in order to help other people to achieve sobriety and to find his kingdom.
You know, it's fascinating to me how some people struggle with addiction for a long time, and then some people ask God for deliverance, and pow. I don't quite understand why that happens that way, but it's cool. You know?
I'm telling you, it has been one of the biggest blessings and gifts, and just being there for my Nana before she passed and transitioned, I was able to care for her and be by her side. And
wow.
Ever since I've been awake today, just from being sober and just seeing God's miracles, it's just one of the biggest gifts I've ever been given, and just learning who exactly the Holy Spirit is. I've always known a lot about Jesus and God and things of that nature, but when I was actually able to make that connection with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing like it.
I agree with
That's
that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You used an interesting term. You said, once I was awake. Is that what you call that transformation, waking up?
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, it's almost like you're dead when you're in the grave, and when God snatches you right up out of that grave, when he delivers you from all of the bondage and the chains of this world, it's just like you come alive again, and everything is so clear, and your vision is just so profound, and it's just one of the most beautiful gifts I could have ever been given.
I love that. Wow. What a story. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You notice that people don't quite know what to say to you in that scenario?
Yeah, just recently I was visiting with a friend and she asked me for a recipe and I said, oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed the peanut clusters. These are a special recipe from my sister who passed away. And she said, okay, well, what's in it?
Oh, goodness.
And she didn't know what to say. Right. Okay. It's so common. I'm even guilty of it as well. And I thought, how different would it be for her to stop and say, wow, can you share a precious memory of your sister with me? But I get it. It's such an uncomfortable thing, and you don't want to know that other people are in pain. So you think the kindest thing is to just move on. So I started thinking, well, what do you do when the world moves on? Because in the beginning, there's all the attention, all the love, the support, the stories people will share with you and ask you for your stories. But then as time goes on, it's almost the opposite, where people will run away from the pain. And
yeah, I think they just feel awkward. They don't know exactly what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you do? You know?
I can imagine it's very lonely.
Yeah.
I was, my mom, when I was a kid, and I would, you know, somebody would pass away, and she wouldn't call or send a card immediately. She would wait a few months. And I asked her one day, I was like, why? Like, what, shouldn't you have done this months ago? And she said, well, by now, everybody else has dropped off. But this is still very fresh to them. And so just that reminder that somebody cares. She said, I just want to let them know that, you know, that loss has not been forgotten by other people as well.
Oh, I love that. Just any time that somebody would look at me and say, tell me about her, you know? Oh,
that's a great question to ask someone, is tell me about that person or give me a story about them, because that gives you an opportunity to open up in any way you want. I mean, you don't have to open up a whole lot, but you could share a great memory.
And in those moments when that doesn't happen, I have to remind myself that song, I love it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And remember that God gave his own son. And do I remember his pain? Do I come and talk to him about what his son means to me and changed in my life? And just a great reminder, I think, today, don't avoid other people's pain. If they happen to mention, or you know that they've experienced the loss, even if years have gone by, just a simple sentence. Tell me something about them.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
A little better than what's in the recipe now?
Yeah, right. Man.
So what do you do with somebody that has been horrible to you? Maybe your own mom or your own dad. Have you been in that situation? Well, Dr. Esau McCauley, he's a professor at Wheaton College, and he wrote a book about his family and their past. It's called How Far to the Promised Land, One Black Family Story of Hope and Survival in the American South. So Esau's father was just, I'm going to say despicable, horrible to him and his family.
Yeah.
He was a drug addict, stole from his own family. And this is what he had to say that helped him process who his father was.
When you're a kid, there's good guys, bad guys, Superman, Lex Luthor. And so my father was a bad guy. You know, he had addiction and he stole from our family. And that was all that he was to me. Once you get older and you begin to understand something like the nature of addiction, right? That it isn't simply a choice, that there's biochemical reactions that are related to the human body that makes it hard to get off drugs. When you begin to understand, people in some sense are shaped by the things that happen to them. And so a bad person was someone who had a complex set of circumstances that helped inform him. And I think this is really important. Empathy for someone's situation does not necessarily negate accountability. And so I was empathetic for what my father experienced, but he still chose to take the drugs. And so the idea of the making of a villain is that villains often have origin stories. And learning about my father's origin story and how he ended up where he did explained a lot to me.
You know, when you can find out the why behind somebody and how they turned out, it can bring empathy. It just makes me think of how many people in prison had a rough beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know? And that's not, that part isn't their fault. Of course, they still decided to do what they did that put them in jail. But I just think of different situations that we grow up with. You can't choose who your father is. You can't choose who your mom is, or what kind of upbringing you had, and how does that affect you the rest of your life?
Yeah,
right.
It's difficult to, I think, not focus on your own pain.
Right.
You know,
because you're hurting because
exactly.
of what they're doing to you.
But I think, you know, he's right. Because it was the same with my dad. Once I was able to sit down and really look at his past and go, well, goodness, there's no way he was ever going to be capable of loving me or anybody else.
Right.
And then it puts a different perspective there.
Yeah, until I get something.
What's
my,
that?
My in-laws just left to go back to Oklahoma. And I sure hope you have family that you love because I miss them.
Aww.
Oh,
I really love these people.
I was holding my breath for a moment
yeah.
when you said they've left and they're on their way to Oklahoma. I was like,
Oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, my mother-in-law's a former teacher. My father-in-law's a former police officer. And they're just really good people. They
Aww.
Really are.
I love that.
You yeah. have to fight them to pay the bill. You know what I'm talking about at the restaurant?
That's always a good thing.
I know, exactly.
Lunch is on me.
Yeah. So I just, my wife's parents are awesome. I miss them already. I sure hope you have that good relationship, you know.
My in-laws are very different from my family. Especially in the way they communicate. Like my husband's family is a very gruff family. And so I've always been a little offended on his behalf at the way they speak to him, even though that's what he's accustomed to. And he kind of thinks it's amusing. And I don't want to say like hate or anything, but just not a relationship in place, you know. And I kind of indifferent, in between indifferent and annoyed all the time. And right before Christmas, my father-in-law took a spill out of bed, ended up with valley fever, ended up in the hospital. And when I visited him with my husband a couple of weeks ago, I tell you, just seeing him disoriented and scared and unsure of the future, God really just put a love in my heart for him that hadn't been there before. I think I was finally kind of able to see him through God's eyes for a second.
Wow,
and God
Misty.
Said, I love this man. You know, this is my child, and just gave me a little piece of that love too. And I felt very differently about him ever since then.
Well, that's really interesting, especially somebody that haven't been very nice to you. God enabled you to see him differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, that's powerful.
I hate that it took what happened to do that.
Right.
You know, but I'm glad that breakthrough happened.
You know, I kind of wish there's certain people that are in my life that aren't as pleasant as my in-laws. Wouldn't that be great if we could all see? Lord, help us to see people the way you see them.
Yes.
And give a, because you'll have a compassion, you'll have an empathy for
yeah.
them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Imagine how much heartache we could skip if we went straight to that question and
yeah.
that prayer.
Good point. Exactly. I've got joy down in my soul. I'm going to let this feeling take control. Joy. So what's bringing you joy? Give us a call at 888-888-9976. Robin's with us. What's going on?
I have been without water for almost 48 hours.
Oh, no.
I have frozen pipes.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
A new friend from church, she's given me a number to a guy with his own plumbing business. I called him on my way home from church, and he came over later that day, and he did such an amazing job.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he didn't even charge me for it.
What?
Oh, wow.
Hey.
It just brought me to tears.
Aw.
You know, God is so good, and all the praise goes to him.
Aw, absolutely.
And that guy is going to get blessed for giving you a gift. That's
yes.
awesome.
Yes. Always good to be friends with people who have a guy.
Yes.
Well, that's for sure.
My friend has a guy.
Yeah, and I just met her like a couple Sundays ago, and God just like put it on her heart to like come into my life, and she was even willing to pay $100.
Aww.
She was going to pay it.
Beautiful.
That's nice. Wow. Well, you got a gal and a guy.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I would love to connect with you on Facebook and Instagram, where you can share your good news or joy report. Just look for and like FLR Mornings.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.